Next we have Patrick Kennett and a name I can't pronounce, I apologize, 1650644, amended motion to dismiss case.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Jeff Hartman on behalf of Mr. Kinney.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Arthur Zorio on behalf of Mr. Jed Margolin.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Matthew Francis on behalf of Mr. Margolin.
Okay. And Mr. Hartman, my notes indicate that you're asking for a 30-day continuance.
Your Honor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't see you, Mr. Hawley. Sorry.
This is just like being at home, Your Honor. I've forgotten there as well. Your Honor, Happy New Year to you as well. Richard Hawley on behalf of Fred Zadry as trustee of the Star Living Trust and Ray and Stasawit Karogli as trustees of the Karogli Management Trust.
Okay.
Your Honor, at a prior hearing, you continued matters until today.
Okay.
My task was to try and get a report from the proceedings in Paris. I've sent two communications over asking for that report and that information so that I could file it here. I've gotten no response, so I can't oppose the dismissal.
Okay.
In good faith.
I appreciate that. Anyone opposing dismissal?
Well,
Mr. Hawley says no.
Maybe. How's that?
Pretty good.
Your Honor, I've had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Margolini's counsel, and it may very well be that we don't have any issues between ourselves. We filed a response to the supplemental filing, Your Honor, to highlight a couple of things for the court that are our concerns. I know nothing about what is transpiring in France. I'm not here to advocate on the part of the debtor, but we do have a particular concern. And that concern, Your Honor, concerns the ownership interest in what we identify as the PARA property, which the court focused on in the cross motions for summary judgment that were filed in this case. And rather than refer to each one of the parcels separately, I'll just refer to it as the PARA property, Your Honor.
Okay.
And our concern, Your Honor, is that we were involved in a proceeding where the court made some very specific findings of fact with respect to ownership in that property, and specifically finding that the Star Living Trust, which I'll refer to as SLT, has a one-third ownership interest in the property, and that's pursuant to a grant bargain and sell deed that was recorded on August 6, 2003, and that the Karogli Management Trust, Your Honor, which I will refer to as KMT, also had a one-third ownership interest in that same property pursuant to the grant bargain and sell deed and then a subsequent quit claim deed, taking it out of the name of Mr. Karogli individually and putting it into the KMT, or into KMT. When Mr. Margolin obtained a default judgment against the debtor back in June of 2013 and then obtained a default judgment and then proceeded to execute on that default judgment. And as part of that execution, Mr. Margolin conducted some sheriff sales with respect to parcels 2, 4, and 8 within the PARA property. And rather than foreclosing simply on the debtor's interest in those properties, the sheriff's deed reflects a sale of the entire parcels of property, including the one-third interest owned by SKT or SLT and the one-third interest owned by KMT. And so we want to avoid future litigation, Your Honor, over the ownership issue. And so in light of that, we filed our response, and then Mr. Margolin filed a reply to our response. And in the reply, he stated that Mr. Margolin, or at least counsel stated that Mr. Margolin it says it has already agreed that they, meaning my clients, each have their one-third interest in this property, with Mr. Margolin having the remaining one-third interest in the properties, meaning the, you know, as referenced in the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the adversary, which are adversary ECF number 60. In prior filings with the court, Your Honor, Mr. Margolin had given more equivocal statements in terms of this particular ownership issue involving my clients. In an opposition to a motion for summary judgment, which is docket number 53 in the adversary proceeding, Mr. Margolin basically stated that, you know, if my clients had a two-third interest in the nine parcels or in the Para property, prior to the recordation of his judgment, a point that we must prove, then in that case, Mr. Margolin would not contest, or that in that case, our two-thirds ownership interest collectively would be preserved. And so since the statement in docket number 73 regarding this agreement caught my attention, because I wasn't aware of any such agreement between the parties. I hadn't seen anything.
Could you hold on for 1 second? I cannot pull up any of the stuff on my screen. So could you print 73 for me? I love computers.
John, I think it was docket 53.
53, I apologize. I can't open that either.
53 was the opposition to the motion for summary judgment, and the reply in support of the supplemental points and authorities to dismiss is docket number 73, Your Honor.
And what am I going to look at? 53, is that correct? No, that's the notice of entry.
No, docket number 53 in the adversary, mm-hmm. which is adversary number 17-05016.
I'm looking at the petition, at just the petition page, so. All right, so I'm looking at docket 53. And what should I be looking at?
If you go over to page 3, Your Honor, beginning on lines 9 through 15, I think you'll see a Roman numeral number 2 reply arguments and argument number 1. Plaintiff's two-thirds interest, if any, is limited to the limited parcels.
But he wants you to prove some aspect of it.
Well, and so... Based upon this, Your Honor, we did the cross motions for summary judgment and demonstrated the ownership interests of my clients in the property,
okay,
which are reflected in the court's findings of fact and conclusions of law, which is docket number 60.
Could you please print that for me? Sorry for the glitch.
No problem at all, Your Honor.
It probably didn't go over to 2020. It's probably still on 2019.
Right.
I have no idea. Thank you. I've got it here. Thank you.
Okay. So in the findings of fact and conclusions of law, which were reflected in docket number 60, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Particularly if you go to page 4 and refer to paragraphs 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
The court makes findings with respect to the ownership interests of my clients in the property that was the subject of the sheriff's sale. And then the court proceeds to invalidate the sheriff's sale. And I'm not focusing on trying to invalidate the the sheriff's cell in its entirety. I'm not trying to preserve or argue who has the other one-third interest owned by the debtor. But my concern, Your Honor, is that now with docket number 73, we are told that Mr. Margolian now agrees that we each have our one-third interest. And I just want to make sure, but it's not supported by a declaration or anything else by Mr. Margolian. And so what I'd like to see, Your Honor, is if we want to avoid future litigation over the ownership issue, because correcting the sheriff's deed to reflect proper ownership is probably a fairly easy thing. I'm told by my transactional folks that quitclaim deeds can repair basically anything, except our relationships, as was pointed out to me by with our spouses, as was pointed out to me by counsel earlier today.
Did you have a bad New Year's?
Not yet, but
that was a privileged conversation, I think.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to do, Your Honor, is I want to make sure I preserve some record here, and okay. I want to avoid future litigation over the ownership interest in this PARA property. And I think if I can get an affirmation from counsel that at least these findings are correct in terms of ownership interest, then we can go about, revising the sheriff's deeds to reflect the appropriate ownership interests, and then we can move on. If counsel can't do that or is not authorized to do that, then I'm afraid I need to jump into some of the arguments in terms of having a structured dismissal under Section 1517, by analogy, Section 349 of the Bankruptcy Code.
Counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. From our perspective, this case has been a bit of a head-scratcher with regard to Zavery and Crowley. The opposition to the motion for summary judgment, document number 53, if you continue down that same page, page 3,
yes.
You'll see a truism that we reported to the court on line 23. Each of the sheriff's deeds state the interest executed upon is that of the judgment debtor, not of the plaintiffs. I'm at a loss to understand how the sheriff's deeds, referring specifically to the judgment debtors that don't include Zadry and Crowley or their entities, has somehow conveyed their interest in the property. I do have a copy of some of the three of the sheriff's deeds and document 40 that's attached to the statement of undisputed facts in support of Zadry and Crowley's motion for partial summary judgment. And I can provide you a quick copy of those.
Yes, please.
May I approach?
Yes, please. So, Mr. Hawley, I'm looking at docket number 40.
And I didn't print out all of it, Your Honor.
That's right. And a number of exhibits which are attached to it. Exhibits 1 through, it looks like, 9 are attached to it. Maybe 10. No, 9.
And specifically,
let's
Your Honor.
See if Mr. Hawley has a copy of it.
Sure.
I don't have a copy of that docket number, Your Honor, but I do have docket number 42, which is my client's statement of undisputed facts. And we do attach as exhibits copies of the sheriff's deeds that I believe Mr. Osler is referring to. And I'm happy to highlight for the court, my concern is when you look at the sheriff's deeds, it has a description of the property, and you can look at the ones that you have. I'm looking at one, Your Honor, that deals with APN number 084-130-07.
I have that one. Do you have
maybe,
okay, thank you. Go
maybe
ahead.
Maybe Mr. Osler can point you to that one.
I got it.
32 of 188.
Okay. And my concern, Your Honor, is that if you look at, on the sheriff's deed, it references the property. And it doesn't refer to the debtor's interest in APN 84-130-07. It identifies the entirety of the property as the subject of the sheriff's deed. And then if you go down to the recitals portion, Your Honor, again, my concern is that It again, in Recital A, it references the property, which is undefined other than as I referenced above, which identifies the entire parcel, not just the debtor's interest in the parcel. Looking again at Recital B, it refers to a sale of the property and when it was conducted. Again, it doesn't specify that it was a sale only of the debtor's interest in the property, but a sale of the property. And then in Recital C, we get the same affirmation about a sale of the property. And so based on this, Your Honor, my concern is that if I take this to a title company and my client says, we own a one-third interest in the parcels that were the subject of the sheriff's deeds, that title company is going to say, no, you don't, because we have a copy of the sheriff's deeds, and it refers to the property and identifies the property by the APN number in its entirety. And so if we can get an agreement today in the hearing that of these parcels that were the subject of the trustee's deed, we can simply employ a mechanism to make sure it's clear that my client's one-third interest was not the subject of those sales, then I'm perfectly content with that, Your Honor, and I'm fine with having the case dismissed. But if we can't get that type of an agreement, then I really am concerned that I'm going to have to relitigate these issues all over again, which I really don't want to do, and I don't think I should have to do, particularly where in the adversary, all of the parties participated. They all filed cross motions for summary judgment, so there were no issues of fact before the court, and the court issued extensive findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Counsel?
If we look at the specific paragraph talking about what is being conveyed, It's the paragraph under the word conveyance. It says the sheriff of Washoe County, for valuable consideration in hand and received, hereby grants and conveys to grantee all the rights, title, interest, and claim belonging to judgment debtors, and it names the judgment debtors. It is limited solely to the interest of the judgment debtors, which again is why, from my client's perspective, this has been a bit of a head scratcher. The document specifically conveys only the interest of the judgment debtors. So in dismissing this case and voiding the interlocutory order that was entered in the adversary proceeding pursuant to Code Section 349B3 is of no prejudice whatsoever to Sadri and Caroli. Their interest in the property, as indicated in the deed and the certificates of sale, are not affected by the deed and certificates of sale. Rather, their interests remain as they were at the time of the sale of the properties. I don't think we need something additional on the record here. Like counsel has stated, in the opposition to motion for summary judgment, we stated that at document 53, page 3, line 23, that the sheriff's deeds only convey an interest of the judgment debtor, not of the plaintiff, Sadri and Caroli. And at page 4, we say, Mr. Margolin will accept plaintiff's representation to this court that plaintiffs collectively hold two-thirds interest in the 9 Washoe County properties. So, again, it's a bit of a head-scratcher as to why there's a concern for the interlocutory order to be voided pursuant to Code Section 349B3. We don't think that there's any prejudice for that for Zadri and Caroli when that order is voided. One of the reasons why I can't stand here and say, well, we can just dismiss the Chapter 15 and leave that order intact is because that order affects a great deal more than these 9 properties. And we've been fighting with Mr. Zandian for over a decade to get paid on the default judgment. There's currently, this bankruptcy proceeding put a stop to Judge Russell entering an order to convey properties that he was dealing with. There's a great deal more going on. So the most equitable thing to do, and not to prejudice Mr. Margolin, who has been fighting Mr. Zandian for years, who's had to litigate these proceedings since 2016 that have had no basis whatsoever to initiate a Chapter 15 and exercise the subject matter jurisdiction of this court. We believe that what should be done is the Chapter 15 dismissed, Section 349 be given the express purpose and intent that Congress gave for it, and void the interlocutory order that was entered in the adversary proceeding. I'm happy to work with Mr. Hawley if he believes that something more specific needs to be done in order for his clients to be satisfied about their rights. But again, I really don't see the issue, because I think the deeds and the particularly the judgment that never named Sadri and Caroli have anything whatsoever to do with their interest in these properties.
So, Mr. Hawley?
And again, Your Honor, really what I'm asking for is an affirmation, Your Honor, that Mr. Mongolin recognizes the two-thirds interest or one-third respective interest of my clients in the subject parcels. If he will tell me that, then I'm perfectly fine with moving on.
May I ask may I address Mr. Hawley?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you're saying moving on, you're content with the Chapter 15 being dismissed and the interlocutory order voided?
Yes, but I can't have any. I really, at best, I think these trustees, these sheriff's deeds may create some confusion, Your Honor, because of how property is referred to back and forth in the recitals, and the actual sheriff's deed, the actual sheriff's cell itself, and then based upon papers that have been filed with this court, Your Honor, there's some equivocation in terms of recognizing the interest and some not, and I just simply don't want to have to litigate this all over again, and at least this way I can go, you know, we can sit down and we can work together, and I can refer to a transcript if I do have to litigate it again, and I can go in and just say, look, this was an affirmation that our, you know, my client's interest in this property exists. It's the one-third interest of both SLT and the Caroli Management Trust. And then I'm fine with that. But if counsel can't do that or is not willing to do that, then it puts me in a hard spot, Your Honor, where I'm left to rely upon hopefully the goodwill of someone who I don't know Mr. Margolin. I've never had any dealings with him. And I'm just trying to avoid that situation, Your Honor.
So let me ask you this. Would it make sense for me to continue this for a week, perhaps, in Las Vegas? And I think I'll be in Las Vegas next week. See if you guys can come up with an agreed
I don't think so, Your Honor. Let me confer with my colleague for just one moment. Sure. I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, if I understand Mr. Hawley correctly, that he consents to the motion to dismiss, and also all orders in the ancillary adversary proceedings being voided. He has my commitment that and however you want to put it, want me to state it on the record, that, you know, the one-third interests of his clients were not affected by those deeds. And I'm, like I said earlier, I'm happy to work with him if he feels there needs to be something in addition to that.
Mr. Hawley?
And Your Honor, really, this may be a matter of semantics, but I appreciate the commitment of counsel.
Yeah.
What I really would like is a representation that my clients have that one-third interest in those parcels that were the subject of the sheriff's sale.
So just hang on.
Thank you.
My colleagues presented something to me. Can Mr. Hawley and I have a week to discuss the issue? I think we're there, Your Honor. But
I think you will be better off sitting face to face.
Sure.
Drafting something, putting it in final form,
and that way everybody's comfortable with the language and what's being stated. And yeah.
So let's do this. Let's continue this for 10 days.
That should be plenty, Mr. Hawley. You're around the next 10 days. I am.
Yes, no, that should be plenty of time, Your Honor.
I don't know if that's in the middle of a weekend. We better check.
Let's see. I think, I know the court is.
The 10-day mark does fall on a weekend, Your Honor. We can do next Friday, January the 10th.
I turn my phone on, Your Honor.
Sure, please.
It's a little bit shy of the 10-day mark, but we do Friday, January the 10th. We can do 10 a.m.
Now, am I in Las Vegas that day?
You were supposed to be, Your Honor, but Flamingo Tenea party said so.
Oh, good.
I will be following stipulations of dismissal prejudice.
Fantastic.
Otherwise, we can do it via video on January the 15th.
I apologize.
I really do think Friday the 10th is going to give us plenty of time, Your Honor.
Okay. Let's do Friday the 10th, 10 a.m.
Yes, sir, 10 a.m.
And I hope you have a resolution. I mean, you sound as though you are awfully close.
I really do think it's not going to be an issue, Your Honor. But I need to button this down. Otherwise,
my phone has come back on. Let me just confirm that.
That's fine.
Thank you,
Your Honor. May I be excused from attending that hearing?
Yes.
No objection.
No objection from me either, Your Honor. To the extent Mr. Hartman needs my consent.
I was unaware that he needed your help.
I'm going to ask him.
I'm here for him.
January 10th at 10 a.m. works fine, Your Honor. Thank you.
January 10th at 10 a.m.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys very much. It sounds to me like you're going to get this resolved.
I think so, Your Honor. And we can suspend preparing an order until after that continued hearing.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Colliott, okay?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good luck.
Yes,
thank you
so much.
Anything further on the 2 o'clock hour?
No, Your Honor.
We'll be in recess. Thank you.
All rise.